welcome to episode 3 of the, well, not world famous, the living room famous Zombie Girls podcast. With me tonight, we have a new co-host. Unfortunately, Lady Succubus Summer had to go out of town. She's doing the family thing, attending to her sister that was boxing a crackhead, basically. So wherever you are, Summer, you're a good sister, and I hope you're having a good time. And anyways, without further ado, I want to introduce my new co-host for the night. Her name is Ariel. She is the last girl.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel kind of sucked me into doing this, and I wasn't so sure at first.
Sucka. I know, I made it sound like it was going to be a lot more fun than it is, huh?
Yes.
Well, we had fun tonight. We watched a pretty freaky movie, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of warm you up. This is the first time you've ever done something like that. So normally we don't do like a icebreaker question, but I thought for tonight I'd go ahead and institute it to get you kind of in the zone. So there are a lot of crappy movies out there, a lot of crappy, scary movies that like just don't quite do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can see what they're trying to do, but it's not something that sticks with you. So what is a scary movie or horror movie or a thriller that scared you?
That really scared me. I mean, I watch horror movies to be scared, but yeah, you're right. A lot of times they aren't really scary. I think that more recently it's been Japanese horror movies that have scared me a bit more. I think I've become like sort of desensitized to all the slasher movies and all of the, even like the torture porn that's out there now. It doesn't scare me that much, but I think that the sort of creepy eeriness of like Ju-on and stuff like that, It creeps me out, definitely.
So do you watch the original Japanese versions or do you like the remakes?
I like the remakes, but personally I think that the Japanese ones have a little bit more of an edge or a little bit creepier than the American ones.
What's your favorite?
I think Ju-on is, really. I like that. And The Eyes, that was a really good one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the American remake with Jessica Alba?
I didn't. I don't know. I saw the previews for that and I wasn't so sure.
Dude, that preview, like, seriously, like, it gave me the Rachel rage. Like, it did what I hate most in previews, where it shows the fucking ending in the preview. It's like, Well, you know what? Actually, I'm changing my policy. I love it. It just saved me $7. And
so
that's a matinee price.
Do that these days.
Quarantine? Have you seen that yet?
No.
Well, don't watch the trailer, because then you've seen it. Let me tell you, girlfriend, that shit pisses me off.
Plus, like, Jessica Alba, I don't...
You're not buying her as a scream queen?
No, I'm not. I mean, she always seems so full of herself. She's not a good actress. And, you know, I love the Fantastic Four comic books. After watching the movies, made me hate her even more.
Yeah.
I know she's hot and all, but...
Yeah, I liked her in Sin City. She was good because, you know, she was just kind of shaking her ass.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Have you, like, the one thing, though, with, like, the J-horror stuff, I mean, some of it's really good, but it can be, like, it can, I don't know, sometimes it crosses the line. I don't know if this is actually J-horror, but did you see Audition?
You know, I've seen, like, parts of Audition. I've never seen the whole thing through. And
did
it...
you see the parts?
What
with
part?
The burlap sack and
yes,
all that?
Yes.
That... I was physically ill.
I have to agree with you on that.
I could not get that off my TV fast enough. And I like scary movies. I like things that are shocking. But there was something about that that just, like, hit me, like, viscerally. I was like, oh, my God, get off my TV.
Yeah,
get off my TV. Get out of my brain.
There was something about that that was just, like, yeah, it was too real, too creepy, just, ugh.
And she was eating vomit.
Yeah, it's just too much. I can't do that.
I draw the line at eating vomit. If you are not a baby bird, you have no business eating anything that has been regurgitated.
I mean, that's not a good scare.
That's sort of a life policy for me. I mean, you can call me square bear, but I'm not, like, I'm just not down with regurgitation.
I think that's fair.
Well, that's awesome. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and answer that question too for myself, which is interesting because the first thing that came to mind when I was like coming up with this question and I was like, oh crap, I'm probably going to have to answer this too, was not J-horror, but it was a J-horror remake. The movie, like, I mean, and there have been a lot of them because I'm one of those people that when I watch the horror movie, it creeps me out. But, like, what I think about later haunts me way worse. But one of, like, the movies that totally stuck with me forever was The Ring. After the first time I saw The Ring, like, for weeks after that, I was, like, washing one eye at a time in the shower because I was sure Samara was, like, coming for me. I was like, ah! Do you watch Big Love?
I watched, like, the first season.
Do you know who Rhonda is on that?
I don't think so.
She's, like, the pretty little young wife of Roman. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's Samara.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
I will IMDb this thing. I swear to God, that's Samara. That's the actress that plays Samara. She's also going to be in the Donnie Darko sequel, which...
They're making a sequel?
I know. Isn't that weird?
I love that movie. I know. I can't picture a sequel.
That was, like, to me, Patrick Swayze's best role. He was amazing in that movie. It's sort of like the John Ritter effect. Like, he, like, plays this one kind of role forever and ever and ever. I mean, John Ritter was great and everything, but, like, his very finest moment was Sling Blade, which, like, it was a total departure from anything he had done before. It's the same with Patrick Swayze. He's like, you know, either he's like shake your ass man or he's like, you know, action star hero. When he goes like inspirational speaking pedophile, I'm like, oh my God, this man is a genius. Get this man an Academy Award. Okay. So, all right, good. I feel like the ice is broken. How are you feeling? Comfortable?
A little better.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, this should help because it definitely makes me feel good. We got a fan letter. Yay. It's official. One person is listening other than like our families. So actually to be honest, we got two. I'm only going to read one tonight because the other one was addressed to Summer and I figure she should be here to bask in the glory. Not to mention that I promised that I would have her read them because she has the sexy voice and I have the man voice. But since this one is less sexy time and more just like commentary on the podcast, I feel comfortable reading it.
Okay.
So, wait, these are out of order. And I put them in order. How sad is that? There's three pages. Okay, so this one's coming from Elise. All right. Hey. Hey, man. Just listen to episode 2. First podcast I actually went from start to finish on. So well done. Hooray. Maybe that's because it was short. Let's see. My brother plays Resident Evil 5 like crazy on our 360. That one guy, the one with the short hair and the Matrix moves, who infected himself? Totally hot, man. Why kill him? Sure, he's trying to kill off everybody or something. I don't know. I walk in and my brother and his buddy, T-Bay, are just freaking out at playing it. I like this girl. She's funny. Let's see here. But maybe he's got a good reason. Maybe somebody ate his sandwich for show.
That didn't make you mad.
Either way, man, I know there's got to be some funky fan art of him somewhere. Rule 34, man. Rule 34. Also, hey, what about Signs, the Shyamalan movie? This is one of the few movies that actually freaked me out after it was over. Okay, sure, the gore level was almost none, except maybe that part where the alien's fingers get cut off, but that was minimal. But holy crap, talk about suspense. Feels like you're suffocating that movie. Like, shit, this would suck so much. They could be coming at any minute. Ugh. Okay, all of...
I like the sound effects.
Well, it was spelled UNNGHHH. That sounds like ugh, yes, to me, right? Okay, all right. Okay, I'll admit it. The day after the attack, when the main characters confront it, it's not bad. Matter of fact, the whole fear factor goes way down. Like, hit it, hit it, hit it, hit it, hit it. But still, and oh God. When that news report, where they show it walking past the alley is on, I practically crap my pants. Like, my entire intestinal tract lurched. Lisa's such a lady. I'm a lady. I do ladies things. Let's see. Do you ever watch Little Britain?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that was totally lost on you. But that's okay. Someone out there has seen it. Okay, back to our intestinal tract. I could not look at doors when going to bed for weeks because I totally knew it passed by like a freaking intergalactic Bigfoot. Just like, oh, hi, lol.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Elise, wherever you are, will you marry me? Now, here, she has a suggestion for us. This is, you're going to love this. Also, my friend, Ginger Dead Man. Seriously, anytime human ashes are poured into a cookie mix and somehow create a homicidal pastry that likes to entrap women and then decorate them with frosting, you know it's on. Looking forward to the next episode, Elise. Oh my god. Elise, you are the best. I laughed so hard when I read this. I had to have nerd translation on a few of these things. But you are magical, and I love you. It's interesting. Like, have you seen Signs?
Yes.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
You know what, though? Why Signs makes me sad? Because...
The death of the mother, or...
No. Not okay. The death of the mother. The death of the Shyamalan with the village and Lady in the Water and The Happening. Oh, it hurts my heart.
You didn't like The Village at all?
Did you like The Village?
I mean, it wasn't, like, his best work or anything, and it wasn't, like, my favorite movie, but I don't know, I kind of liked it.
Well, here's the thing, is I loved the movie that was in the trailers. I wanted that movie. I was like, ooh, it's so creepy, they're, like, in this treehouse, and there's something scary coming for them.
That's true. And then I'm like, no. It was very, very different than what it actually turned out to
be. It's a kid with a developmental delay in, like, a monster suit. So you can see how, like, it was a little bit of a disappointment. Yes. But I have to say that that one was, the last one that actually kind of had a twist. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, mm-hmm. eventually that becomes a little gimmicky, and it's like, with a twist, you know? But it's hard for me to reconcile, like, The Happening and, Lady in the Water.
See, I didn't even see Lady in the Water because the previews look so bad.
Seriously, you made a choice. You dodged, you dodged a bullet. It's like, I loved those first three movies, Unbreakable, Signs, and Sixth Sense so much. It was sort of like, now it's to a lesser degree, like the Indiana Jones moment I had when I saw the Kingdom and the Crystal Skull. And, like, a little piece of my childhood died. Well, yeah. Like, a little piece of my adult fandom died when I saw it. Because I was like, there was a time when M. Night Shyamalan's name on a movie, like, had me going, like, rubbing my hands together. Like, oh my god, yeah, I can't wait to see this.
Looking forward to the next one. Yeah.
Exactly. But much like Nick Cage's name, like, on the marquee, now when I see M. Night Shyamalan, I'm like, oh, it used to be so good, and now it's just so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. I haven't seen Knowing, though, yet. Mixed reviews. Do you have any interest in seeing that?
Not really. I mean, it seems like one of those things where I might rent eventually, but I don't think I'd ever go to the theater to
Keep getting, like, Snake Eyes and Ghost Rider flashbacks every time I see them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even bother to see, what was the one, the remake, where he goes to the island and they're all, like, doing the pagan stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wicker Man.
Yes.
Did you ever see the original?
Mm-hmm. Not for a long time, though. I saw that when I was a kid.
Love that movie. Love that movie. But I was like, Nick Cage, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I'm off topic. So.
No, but she's right about Signs. I mean, there is parts of that that are creepy. And I think what's so nice about it is that it's, like, subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of builds the suspense throughout. Mm-hmm. More like older horror movies.
You know? Definitely. It was definitely one of those things that was super character driven. But you know what? Like, it was not just a scary movie. Like, it hit all the right notes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely, like, you know, when Mel Gibson, like, pre-anti-Semite rant.
Yeah.
when he sees M. Night and they're, like, talking in the car and he's talking about how he had hit his wife or whatever. And Mel Gibson's face does, like, the crumple.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, like, when guys do the crumple.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh, my God, my heart just exploded.
Yeah.
That's so sad. So, like, there was that kind of moment. But then there was also the stuff with the kids that was so funny. But, like, you really, like, it was, like, a good movie. I mean, like, yeah, it's true. She's right about when you see the alien and you're kind of like, weak sauce. But overall, like, that movie is the last solid entry into, like, the M. Night Shyamalan canon.
I really like Joaquin Phoenix in it, too.
Yes! Do you remember when he used to be insane?
I know. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. Although, I'm kind of skeptical of that. Because, like, Casey Affleck's chasing him around with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like he's trying to do, like, what's that, but what's the guy from Taxi? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Andy Kaufman.
Yes, he's trying to do, like, the Andy Kaufman thing, I think. That's my theory, which I stole from someone else.
What is he saying, that he's going to, like, pursue a rock and roll career or something like that?
If only it were rock and roll. No. It's rap.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, no one keeps it gangsta like a phoenix.
Has anyone heard him rap? Like,
oh, yeah, it's bad. We'll YouTube that for you later. Don't worry. No night is complete without a little walking phoenix keeping it gangsta. Okay, so moving on. I wanted to, just sort of like in a completely different side note, because this podcast has not been tangential at all. I wanted to continue the podcast Circle Jerk. Because, like, it's been, like, basically we're just, like, bouncing back and forth. But, for those of you who just can't get enough podcasty goodness from Zombie Girls, I suggest that you, like, run over to iTunes and download or subscribe to the Sleepy Cast, at least episode 71, because they do, like, a little mini review of the Zombie Girls. And it was actually pretty, like, nice and favorable. And I was like, that's cool. And I actually, you know, I had not listened to them before, until recently, and I didn't even really know what to expect, but they do like a pop culture podcast, but it's more just like an hour and a half of dirty talk. And hey, you know what? Yeah. Who doesn't need an hour and a half of dirty talk in their life once a week, right? So I totally recommend the Sleepy Cast. They're hilarious. They're from Tennessee, and they have cute little like country boy accents. Aww. So go check them out. So thanks, guys. That was really nice of you. All right. So let's talk video games. Now, I know you're not like a super big video game fan.
No, not
fortunately, though, we have another special co-host today.
Woo-hoo.
Our producer, Randa Skull.
So what's going on, ladies?
Yes. You are a honorary zombie girl.
Hello! Shall I talk like this the whole time?
Not unless you're the Queen of England. Okay, so you just came back from GDC, so you have, like, the insider scoop on some video games. First of all, let's talk about, now this is not technically, like, a horror game, but I think it's gory enough to qualify. What do you think? Should we, like, grandfather this one on just on pure gore factor?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, so, there's a corpse pile.
No, we're not going there first.
No? Where are we going?
We're going straight to Wolverine.
Oh, okay, cool.
So did you get to play any of the demo?
Yeah, super gory. Yeah, I actually played it for about an hour.
And how was it?
It's really cool, but it's basically another game that I know you really like, God of War.
It's another God of War ripoff?
It's God of War with Wolverine.
Okay.
So it's like Wolverine of War.
So what do you think, Wolverine?
With like way more gore, like at one point he jumps at a helicopter, pulls the pilot out through the windshield of the helicopter, and then, like, sticks the guy up, and his head gets cut off by the rotor blade.
Wow.
And he just throws his body awesome. Down into a ravine.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, it's a PG-13 movie, and this game would, I mean, if this much gore were in the movie, it would be, like, NC-17 or rated X or something.
So it's how ridiculous. Does the gore compare to, like, the gore that's in the God of War trailer? Because they have, like, the new zipper technology or whatever. You see a little bit of that with the centaur.
It's just crazy gory compared to God of War 3.
Really more so than, well, yeah. I mean, obviously we haven't seen that much of the game yet, but,
yeah.
Although you've probably seen more than I have.
Yeah, and, you know, Wolverine himself, he can, you know, that's comic book nerd time, but, you know, he can regenerate.
Adamantium skull!
Yeah, he has his adamantium
claws.
Well, it's his whole skeleton, right?
Yeah.
So, So as he's getting shot, he, like, gets holes shot through him. And eventually you see, like, his intestines and, like, his lungs.
Word.
And, like, a giant hole you can see right through him. And slowly as you keep playing, if you don't get hit anymore, then it, like, all regenerates. And you see it actually happening.
Oh, that's cool.
While you're playing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've done a really true-to-character Wolverine game.
Okay.
For the first time ever.
Okay, so he's true to character, but, like, typically, anytime you have, like, the tie-in video game to go with the movie, basically what you get is, like, a craptastic version of the movie, like, basically shot for shot, like, minus the fun. Is that what this, I mean, like, obviously you haven't seen the Wolverine movie yet, but do you get the impression that this is, like, if you play this game, you've basically seen the movie, only it sucks? Or do you think, is there, or does it sort of depart?
Yeah, I don't know too much about the movie. I'm not one of the people who's downloaded the rough cut that was leaked.
Oh, yeah, have you seen that? The rough cut? You can, somebody leaked the working print.
Wow.
Of the movie. So, like, not all the special effects are in, and, like, supposedly you can see wires and stuff. But yeah, it's out there.
Like, a month before it's in theaters, so.
Personally, I'm going to wait. I want to see it, like, in its full glory, and.
Yeah, well, it seems like it would ruin it, you know, to see it with all the wires and all the special effects there, and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's something you're looking forward to, you might as well wait.
Totally.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, but
that's another Little Britain thing.
Yeah.
Who's seen that show? Anyways, I'm kind of thinking that the Wolverine game, even if it does kind of ape, you know, all the scenes from the movie, will probably be better than the movie. But
yeah,
I'm kind of cynical about comic book movies.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why are you cynical? We just got Watchmen. We got the Dark Knight. Like Watchmen.
Are there any that you like, or?
You have Dark Knight and Batman.
Yeah, the Spider-Man movies.
Batman Begins.
Wow, we're getting really off.
Yeah,
off,
I know.
Off
But I just want to say the first two Spider-Man movies were good.
Yes.
And the third one, I really like Sandman, but the dance number hurts my heart.
I think we're back on topic because the dance number was horrific.
It was horrifying. Okay, remember my icebreaker question, things that really scare you? The dance number in Spider-Man 3.
I have to agree with you. You know what's awesome about the Spider-Man movie? Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. In every single one.
Very, very nice.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Hey, you guys have to talk about the new Army of Darkness Evil Dead movie sometime.
And what also, are you talking about?
Well, they're making a new one.
They're not making a new one.
Oh, well, see, I need to listen to the podcast.
Well, okay. Oh, yeah, clearly. All right, so here's... Oh my god, I know what we can talk about. Actually, this is totally perfectly on topic, and I don't know if you've seen it yet. Have you seen the trailer for Drag Me to Hell?
No.
Oh, it looks so good. It's Sam Raimi's return to horror.
It's not a video game, though, right? Like, you brought me in to talk about video games.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that after. Jesus. You're the producer. Stop trying to be
I'm keeping you on topic and on time.
Whatever. I am deviating. You just be grateful to have extra time on the podcast. My listeners demand that I maintain control of this podcast. I will not have a subordination on my podcast. Okay. Anyways, so it's Sam Raimi's return to horror. Okay. And it actually looks awesome. Like, basically, there's, like, this gypsy woman, and she comes into the bank, and she wants an extension, but the girl's like, no, you can't have an extension, so she ends up, like, dragging her out of her car and, like, cursing her with, like, this demon that is gonna torture her for 3 days, and then at the end of the 3 days, drag her to hell. And so, they show, like, the seance, and, like, the only way to get rid of it is to, like, pass it on to somebody else. And, like, everybody that's gotten to see, not myself, unfortunately, has gotten to see, like, press, whatever, like, early screenings, is, like, raving about it. I'm so excited. It looks like it's going to be so much fun. But the rumor is Sam Raimi is kind of, like, back feeling the horror genre again.
Oh,
so it's
thank God.
Once again reviving rumors of the possibility of either a remake of Evil Dead, which I think may actually be happening. There may be a remake of Evil Dead.
A remake?
I can't remember for sure.
I don't know about that.
I know. Well, I mean, didn't they already do
it?
I know, right? Judd Apatow's Evil Dead. Evil Deader. No, but I mean, isn't Evil Dead 2 basically like a remake of Evil Dead anyway?
Yeah, it's a higher budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So didn't we already get like our awesome remake?
Yeah.
Do we really need another one? But then the other thing is, like, as much as I totally love Bruce Campbell, I don't know that we could see him as Ash again. He's a little, because you know what? It's the Indiana Jones effect. I don't want to see that again.
Yeah, well, he's getting up there.
I have something that's perfect for you then, which is a video game.
Of course.
Okay.
So it's a game that I saw about a week ago, and I finally got to write about for a blog that I write for called joystick.com.
Stop taping your website. We're cutting that out.
Plug.
Start over. All
right. So anyways, you can go to joystick.com.
Stop.
and read my preview of a game.
Don't waste your time with their podcast.
Actually, it's good. Damn it!
So, the game's called Brutal Legend. It's by Tim Schafer, who some people might know as the designer of Grim Fandango, which is kind of horror-like. It's set in the Land of the Dead, and it's all Dia de los Muertos themed.
Ooh, that's cool.
And Psychonauts, which was, like, a total flop on the original Xbox, but it's, like, this totally amazing game that no one ever played. So hopefully people play this new game, Brutal Legend. Very much like Army of Darkness, you've got a character. In this case, he's a roadie named Eddie Riggs, who's the roadie for the worst band of all time. He gets injured on stage, or backstage, basically. Some of his blood gets into his belt buckle that happens to be this ancient relic, and he doesn't realize it. It transports him back into time.
Wait, his
is
belt
it a piece
buckle?
Of Satan's tooth? I think
his
I saw
belt
this
buckle
movie.
Is an ancient relic?
No, it's not. It's not the pick of destiny. Okay, I don't know how he gets the belt buckle, but I mean that's not here nor there. But basically, teleports him back through time, and he ends up in this age of. Know, this dark age where demons have enslaved humans and the whole thing is like basically looks like the cover of a metal album, like a heavy metal album, and that's the whole
and
theme
who does
of
the
this.
Voice cool. acting
oh so Eddie's voiced by Jack Black.
Yeah,
you might know him from such films
hottest
as,
ugly guy ever
such films as the marvelous King Kong. Well anyways. So, yeah, it's not technically horror, but it is in the vein of Army of Darkness, and there's a lot of stuff, like I mentioned a corpse pile earlier. I mean, it starts off, and you're like, decapitating druids, you're fighting battle nuns, which are like, they look kind of sexy, but then...
Battle nuns?
Is there any
and
other
they're
kind?
Sexy.
Do they have giant rulers?
No, they don't.
They can spank you with
them? They
have
big teeth, though. And, you know, he has to, like, pray to the evil gods to make this evil satanic altar go down the corpse pile. And, yeah, the whole thing's just pretty much, like, heavy metal inspired. And
I know, Randy had to write, like, his hands on. He's like, can you make me, like... a metal playlist. I want to get in the zone.
You
know, it kind of helps. So, yeah, but I mean,
I just want all you need to do is listen to like nothing but Death Clock.
Yeah,
and he'd be good to go.
Yeah, that was good advice.
Burbaker.
Yeah,
that's my sad Death Clock imitation.
Loving it.
Okay. Well, anyways, so that's Brutal Legend. It's coming out this fall. And people should totally buy it, or else Tim Schafer's games might not get made again.
You know what you didn't mention was that originally when he was pitching that game, like way back before it was Guitar Hero,
right.
They were like, well, we don't know if it should be heavy metal. Maybe he could go into a world of hip-hop or country.
Country?
How much
a
would
country
that
world?
Have sucked?
Oh my
yeah,
god.
He would have been like battling... Or he'd be, like, fighting battle...
Wow.
10-gallon hats or something.
Battle hose, battle... I don't know. Wow.
Battle tumbleweed.
But, yeah, Tim Schafer, his explanation of that was that they actually started working on this game before Guitar Hero even came out. So, you know, everyone he pitched the game
he
to...
He was down with music that, you know, games before it
yeah.
got popular.
Yeah, he was with the real... He was
yeah,
the real
he's not a poser like Guitar Hero. Yeah, he was down way back. He was a fan way before they were cool. Before Hot Topic got him.
Back when you had to make your own guitar controller.
Yeah,
had a real guitar and some stuff from Radio Shack. Right,
you could do that.
No.
Darn.
All right. Well, I give it back over to you.
Oh, how kind of you,
Zombie Girl.
You are dismissed.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Bye. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Randa School.
Ah, you're welcome.
You were very helpful. Okay. So that's video game talk for today.
Yes.
All right. So let's get to the whole point of this wonderful podcast. We are going to review a movie. which is what we do here at Zombie Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's movie is The Children. Now, this is a movie that has kind of been on my radar for a while.
Uh-huh.
In my day job, I had the opportunity to... What are you doing? Oh. Does that require a lot of hat adjustment?
<He's gotta laughs>
I felt like
he was
dancing with a prop for a second there. I'm like, okay. So anyways, in my day job, I got the opportunity to interview Rachel Shelley, who's one of the stars of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. First of all, I'm going to read the synopsis. Then I'm going to read a quote that I took. I went back. I dug out my transcript of the interview because I wanted to see what she had said about it so I could kind of see how it compared to the actual movie.
Yeah,
because I knew it came out in the UK a while ago, and I've been just like waiting for it to come out on DVD because I knew eventually it would be like available. And it finally got available, and I was like, oh my God. Okay, so here is the review of The Children. And just also fair warning, as usual, everything that we talk about on this podcast will be spoiled. So if you are totally into this movie, I'm going to try again to warn when the major spoilers are coming. But you have been fair. Like, you've got your fair warning. Okay, so anyways. All right, The Children summary, according to IMDb. The Children deftly combines an unsettling realism of low-budget 1970s British horror with the visceral savagery and shocks of a glossy, updated genre. Working with the tried-and-tested theme of Mummy's darling-turned-evil hellspawn that made The Village of the Damned, which you and I talked about earlier,
yes,
and The Omen such chilling classics. Writer-director Tom Shanklin's film exploits the modern super-nanny generation, indulgently obsessed with child behavior. The story takes place at Christmas time with two middle-class families gathered together to share in the festivities. But the peace doesn't last, as slowly their children succumb to a strange illness and start to bring death and destruction to the people who gave them life. Okay, so that's the summary of the movie, and I think that's a pretty good description.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, sometimes you'll read these descriptions and you're like, word, are we talking about the same movie? So I think that's a pretty good description. And here's what Rachel Shelley said to me back in, God, when was that?
I don't know.
Like 6 months ago. I have no concept of time anymore.
I'm that way too.
Like, it's turned into production cycles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
if it's like, I'm like, what week is it in the production cycle? That's all I know. Beyond that, like, I could maybe tell you the year. Okay, so let's see here. Here's Rachel Shelley talking to me earlier this year. I have a film that comes out at the beginning of December here in England. And I'm actually not sure when it will come to the States. It's called The Children. And I play a mother whose kids are actually around. And it's a kind of a... because in The L Word, which is what I was interviewing her for,
mm-hmm.
like, you know how Helena is. She, like, has kids,
yes.
But, like, it's sort of like a joke, like, where did they go? They? She was, like, the crazy baby mama that was, like, trying to hump Tina because she was pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, it's a kind of thriller that turns into a bit of a horror. It's certainly not a slasher. It's not gratuitous. And there's really only one scene that involves blood. But it's definitely a scary one. But it's a good character role as well. I just saw it for the first time a couple of days ago, and so I'm very happy with it. But imagine that with, like, a really sexy British accent.
I don't know about the low-on-gore part of that.
Let's start with that. How accurate do you think that was? Aside from it being good, because I actually really enjoyed it.
I did, too.
Would you say that it was ever a thriller and not a horror?
No.
Would you say that there was no gratuitous violence?
No.
Would you say there was only one scene with blood?
No.
So, basically, epic fail.
Yeah, wrong on all counts.
Okay, so basically, like, the synopsis says, it's, like, this family, it's, like, two families, like, Rachel Shelley and the other mom are sisters, and they're meeting up for Christmas, and they've got, like, 1,000 freaking rugrats running and screaming all over the house, and they get there, and, like, this cute little kid starts barfing, and he's like, Mom, I don't feel good, and you just know something is amiss.
Yeah.
And they go in, you start seeing sort of, like, the inner workings of the family, and something that the synopsis touched on that I think it's really interesting is, like, how you get right away, like, the sense that, you know, like, there's, like, kind of, like, the hippy-dippy mom that's going to wants to start homeschooling, and she's doing, like, this, like, if you eat your peas, you'll get a gold star kind of, like, positive reinforcement that, you know, she got out of some, like, scary mom self-help book. And, like, what's interesting is, like, that kind of mentality of, like, being, like, the, like, kind of, like, taking that to that extreme is what eventually kind of bites them in the ass.
Yes.
Because as things progress, like, they, I mean, although I guess, you know, what do you do if your kid goes homicidal on you?
Yeah, there's not many options there.
And I gotta say, this movie is brutal. I mean, it's not so much that it's super gory. It's definitely got plenty of blood and guts. Like, yeah. I mean, unless you're, like, a super gore hound, you're gonna be satisfied by this. But it's more just, like, it's just brutal. It's a tough watch. Mm-hmm. I'm not even, like, someone who's, like, a huge, like, baby lover. You know what I mean? Like, kids are cool and everything, but I really struggled watching this.
Yeah, well, there's just something, like, inherently creepy about kids that are evil and that are murderous and...
And they certainly are, man.
Yeah, you just always think of kids as being these, like, sweet, innocent little things, and obviously some of them are jerks.
Yeah.
In real life.
Kids, but... yeah, like, everyone's like, my child's so beautiful and smart. Really? Then where are all the stupid, ugly people coming from?
Yeah. Why are there so many assholes in this world? But, but they're very, very rarely murdering their families and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Plotting the murder of the families.
So when you see that, it's a little disturbing. Even if there isn't tons of blood, which, you know, there was blood in this movie. It wasn't, like, you know, over-the-top gore, but... There was blood.
But I think that the pacing of the movie, like, it really, like, there were moments of silence, but, like, the music, the score and everything totally added to it. Like, I was on the edge of my couch the whole time. Like, I was just kind of, like, it was sort of, like, relief when it ended.
Yeah, and just, like, the subtle things where they'd have, like, a kid just, like, staring, you know? It was very creepy.
It could have been really cheesy. Mm-hmm. And this is something I said to you, like, early on in the movie. What is it about British kids that they can act, man?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
There's, like, none of that obnoxious, precocious Olsen twin crap. Oh, like,
yeah, that saccharine sweet just...
Yeah. Like, these kids are totally freaky, totally believable, and it's not just when they're, like, being the children of, or the Village of the Damned kids, but just, like, when they're being kids before the virus sets in and turns them into, like, murderous little shits.
Yeah, they're good actors, and you don't find that very often in American films, and it's true, like, why is that? I don't know.
And that always, like, totally pulls me out of the moment, because I'm so caught up with just, like, ugh, annoying, but, like... This is just another way that this movie kind of just, like, never gave you a break. Like, as soon as stuff started to, like, you started getting, like, the flashes.
Yeah.
When they're at the table and you start seeing, like, kind of, like, through their eyes. Not really, but you know what I mean? Like, you start to see, like, it's sort of like, the murderous impulses, you know? Right. Kind of what's going through their head. So, okay, let me tell you, like, a little bit of backstory on this. I should have probably done this to begin with. So, it's starring Rachel Shelley and kind of a list of British actors that have been in, like, the EastEnders and, you know, British-y stuff. So, if you're, like, an Anglophile, you may recognize some of these people. Some of them look familiar. Like, maybe one of them has been in, like, I don't know, like, a PBS thing. The dad with the weird Chinese medicine fixation looked kind of familiar to me. Yeah. He also kind of looked like a mix between Mark Hamill and Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, you're right.
Can you see that?
Kind of did.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that, but you're right.
But really, the person that I really recognized is Rachel Shelley, because she plays Helena on The L Word, and I saw her previously in, like, a Bollywood movie called Lagan, which was
she
really
good.
If you like Bollywood movies. But yeah, this was definitely not Helena.
No.
This was very much a departure from that character. And I thought, you know, she did a really, really nice job.
Yeah.
Like, there's that panicky scene in the forest where she's talking with the dad and she's kind of blaming the teenage daughter for what's going on. And you could see sort of that mix of, like, terror over her kids and just kind of, like, just, like, that total crazy mama bear thing where she's just completely losing her shit. And I thought she did a really nice job. Okay. It was written and directed by Tom Shankland, who I have not seen this movie, but there's a movie called Waz or The Killing Gene, and it has,
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Well, it was like a direct to okay. DVD kind of thing, and it has, Selma Blair in it.
Oh.
You know, from Hellboy.
Yes.
Yes, you know Selma is.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, but I believe it kind of falls under the category of the torture-y porn stuff. But but like I said, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. That's the impression that I've gotten from the synopsises that I've read.
Yeah,
and
things like, not a huge torture synopsises. Porn. Synopsises.
Is that the correct plural?
Synopsi. Synopsis. I have no idea. Probably.
Okay, and it was written by Paul Andrew Williams.
No idea.
I wrote that down for a reason, but I can't remember why. I think he wrote something else that I was kind of like, what? But I didn't write that on my notes. So you'll have to IMDb it. Yep. That's your homework. My readers, all two of you. Not readers. Listeners. Okay. In my defense, what time is it? It's like almost 2 in the morning. Okay. So what would you rate the movie? What do you think?
Like, in a number system?
Well, I mean, just sort of, like, taking into account the story, which I thought was, even for, like, the kids gone murderous, was pretty original.
Yeah.
The acting, just sort of the general scare factor. And what would you say, on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Maybe, like, a 7.
Okay.
That's a
7's a solid number.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, like, the best horror movie I've ever seen. But
no.
I thought it was really good. I really did. I liked it a lot. I thought it was creepy and well acted. And like you said, the plot was really solid. And
yeah.
What about you?
I would probably give it a good 8.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because for all of those reasons that you said, but also because that's a subgenre that can go horribly awry.
That's a good
and
point.
And for the fact that it was done so well and the scares were so effective and, I mean, it left you with that like doom and gloom feeling that you get at the end of a good horror movie where you're just
when
like
everything isn't like sunshine and rainbows at the end.
Yeah, it did that. So for its subgenre, I think it is up there with the best of the killer kid movies. So I would give it an 8.5.
Okay.
The more I'm talking,
I can see that.
The more I talk, the more I want to give it a better rating. So
I can.
But
see
I think
that.
A 9 would be overselling it. So I would say 8.25.
Okay.
So we're giving it the Zombie Girl stamp of approval.
Yes.
So
everyone
feel free, if you can
it.
Get your hands on it, it's out there. I don't know when it's going to be released on DVD or what the situation is.
But you won't be disappointed. It's very good.
But if you have like a all region code DVD player, which everyone should have, because then you can get all the good British-y stuff and Japanese stuff or whatever, you can scoop it up on Amazon.co.uk. Or you could find it somewhere if you are so inclined. Not that we condone that.
Wink, wink.
But you could. I would imagine I've heard rumors of people and places. Okay. All right. So we're trying this new thing that we did in the last podcast where, like, kind of to close out, I give, like, a Netflix instant cue pick of the week. This one's might be a little controversial.
Oh, dear.
Well, only because, like, I'm a little embarrassed to admit it.
I love those.
So,
I
like,
hear the embarrassing.
You know about the Netflix instant cue.
Yeah.
So, you, like, you can, yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't need to go into all that. So, all right. I'm a big, well, no, that's overselling it. I like Lindsay Lohan.
Okay,
like, I work at a magazine where Lindsay Lohan's name gets bandied about quite a bit.
Is that because she's a redhead?
Yes, because she's a redhead. Exactly. Although, she's not a redhead. This is, like, in her bad black hair phase.
Okay.
So, I like Lindsay Lohan, and I had heard, I mean, this movie won a bunch of Razzies.
Uh-huh.
But I had kind of heard that some people, it's like a guilty pleasure kind of movie. So, I'm like, it was on the instant, like, I was, like, bored, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna check it out. It's called I Know Who Kills Me.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
I think I remember seeing commercials for it.
It's the one where she's, like, the pole dancer.
Right. Yes. I remember seeing ads for that. And
okay.
It's, like, she has, like, a twin or something like that?
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so there's this serial killer who's, like, scooping up girls and, like, amputating parts of their body and then leaving them to die.
Yeah.
Okay? So, Lindsay Lohan, who's, like, this piano player, she plays the piano and, she is sort of like a straight A student or whatever, and she's like this really talented writer, which can I just tell you the parts where she's reading her like short stories in the class.
Hard to believe.
Oh, they're so painful.
Oh god.
Which makes it even harder for me to recommend this. But
is it painful?
But let me get through the synopsis and I'll explain why it's painful and why I'm still recommending it, because I have a theory.
Okay.
I always have a theory.
Yes, you do.
Okay. So anyways, she's like this talented writer or whatever, and she gets kidnapped. Like, after she's looking for her boyfriend after, like, a football game, and she gets scooped up, right? And then they're all, like, trying to find her. They can't find her. And then somebody stumbles across, like, an animal runs out in the road, and, like, this woman swerves and, like, gets run off the road. And she finds Lindsay Lohan, and she's had, like, her arm and her leg amputated, and she's, like, laying on the side of the ground, right? And they're, like, in the interim, they kept cutting to her, and, like, somebody was, like, putting her hand or, like, different parts of her body and, like, what is it called? Dry ice.
Okay.
And then cutting it off with, like, these blue glass knives, cutting off her parts or whatever. So she's all stumpy. And they take her to the hospital, and she's, like, asleep. And when she wakes up, she's like, I am not Aubrey, which is the character's name. I think it's Aubrey. We're going to go with Aubrey because I don't remember.
Sure, why not?
My name is Dakota. I don't know who any of you people are. I may look like her, but it's not me. I am not her. Okay, so then they, like, go into her computer and they find this book that she's written about this character, Dakota, okay? And the rest of the movie is her trying to figure out, like, what happened, and she's, like, they're showing her memories of how she remembered things happened. She's, like, this, she was, like, raised by a crackhead, and she's, like, a stripper, and, like, all of a sudden her body parts are just, like, kind of, like, falling off and stuff.
Wow.
And you go through this whole thing, and then there's, like, the twist ending reveal, which I will not spoil because we're recommending this movie.
Okay. Yes, that would be a little mean.
Okay, so, okay.
So now why was it painful?
Oh, it's so painful. For so many reasons. The first of which, the thing is Lindsay Lohan, under the right circumstances, actually has some talent and can act.
Yeah,
it is not showcased in this movie. There are some moments, actually, when she is Aubrey, it's horrifying. When she's Dakota, it's a little easier to buy. But the acting is laughable. The plot is ridiculous.
Oh.
The twist is preposterous. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's the fact, I mean, like, even the production quality, or, you know, is not very good. And
weird.
And when you find out who the killer is, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, now why
are you recommending
it?
But that being said, I do recommend this movie because it is a guilty pleasure. Like, I've heard people say that it's kind of like a giallo, which are the, like, they're kind of like, they're serial killer movies where there's, like, a sexual element. And that there's definitely that to this. I mean, you don't ever get to see her cans, unfortunately, because she has beautiful cans. But you do get to see a lot of her, like, burlesque dancing and, like, shaking her booty and stuff. And she does kind of, she does get down with someone at one point in the movie. Which is kind of interesting because she's, like, upstairs, like, banging away at this dude, just... And, like, mom's downstairs hearing the whole thing, like, totally awkward. But she's, like, just so glad that her daughter's home that she's just, like, uncomfortably listening to them hum.
Oh, that's horrible.
The whole movie is just atrocious. So okay. But I blame it on the fact that I was, like, a young, little, young person, like, a young girl in the early 90s.
And is that when this is set?
No.
No?
Okay. I can't even claim that. This is kind of, and I like, after it was over and, like, roll credits, I'm like, why did I enjoy this movie? And I had to, like, look within and, like, try to justify it to myself. And I think analysis. I've come up with the reason why I liked this movie and I can recommend it. In the early 90s, there was, like, a group of movies that I was young enough to be into that this is reminiscent of.
Okay.
Okay? If you remember in the early 90s, there was a lot of these, like, serial killer thriller movies mm-hmm. with that were ridiculous, but, like, they were, like, sexy, but, like, kind of crappy and ridiculous. Like, a good one would be, like, Basic Instinct. Well, that came out in, like, 92.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, like, the sexual element with the serial killer.
Right.
Okay, so that's like a 10 on the scale of these crappy thrillers from the early 90s, okay? And then there was things like more, to stay on the Sharon Stone kick, there was, like, Sliver. Now, we're starting to slide down, right?
Okay.
And I dug that movie. You know, that was the one with the videotapes and, like, the bald one when he was still
cute.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. But then below that, which I also was crazy about as a young person in the early 90s, and by young person, I mean I was, like, well, I'm not gonna, I don't know, like 12 or something. I don't even know. I'm not doing the math right now. It was Final Analysis, which is the Richard Gere movie where he is a psychiatrist and he's treating Kim Basinger. And she supposedly has multiple personalities.
Wow, I don't know that I've heard of that or remember it.
And it has Uma Thurman as the younger sister.
Hmm.
And, like, Kim Basinger may have, like, set this, or killed her, or she killed her husband, who's Eric Roberts, which, I mean, he is guaranteed that it's going to be, like, a B-movie, right? You know
right,
who that is?
Julia Roberts' brother.
But she has this disorder where if she drinks alcohol, she has, like, psychotic episodes,
okay.
And she's been drinking cough medicine, unbeknownst to her, that has alcohol in it, and she ends up killing him with, like, a weight or something like that. And then, like, as the movie progresses, like, the younger sister, Uma Thurman's, like, trying to seduce him, and she wants, like, but he's in love with Kim Basinger. Turns out, like, Uma Thurman's actually not the crazy one. It's Kim Basinger. And so it's like this plot, ridiculous plot twist, okay? So I'm into that. And then, but the movie that, like, I was like, it clicked in my brain, like, this is why I like this movie, is because when I was young, one of my favorite movies, when I was young and impressionable, was The Color of Night. Do you remember that movie?
No.
With Bruce Willis, where it was like, there's like an NC-17 cut because you actually get to see, like, Willis Johnson.
Oh. I don't think I've seen that, but I know
It has the guy from Quantum Leap and Lord of Illusions, right? And he's like a psychiatrist and he does like a group therapy thing.
Uh-huh.
And he gets murdered, I think, or he commits suicide. And Bruce Willis is another therapist. And at the beginning of the movie, he's, like, talking with his therapist, or his, one of his patients who's, like, suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And his patient, like, jumps out the window, like, goes through, like, plate glass window, like you could actually do that, and, like, falls to his death. And, like, Bruce Willis is looking down at the red pool of blood.
Right.
And he looks down and he sees, like, his patient in, like, a pool of blood, right? And then from the trauma of it, he becomes colorblind.
Colorblind from the trauma.
So, preposterous, ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So then after his friend has committed suicide, he decides that he needs to break away from the practice he has now and, like, go take over his friend's practice and run these, like, group therapy sessions. But the problem is, in the group there's, like, a serial killer and, like, and, like, he gets sexually involved with one of the patients, and, like, all the other patients are having, like, similar sexual relationships with people, but they keep getting killed.
Oh, jeez. And so he's trying to figure out which one in the group
exactly.
is the serial killer.
And there's, like, the big plot twist,
mm-hmm.
like, nail gun fight in the rain, like, in a light, like, in a one of those, what are those things called? The light tower things?
Lighthouse?
Yes, like, in a, because all, you ever notice all movies in the 90s end up in a lighthouse?
Yeah, that's true. That did happen an awful
lot. Lighthouse was the venue for the climactic scene, right? In the early 90s, it's like they ran out of buildings. They're like, they have this one lighthouse, and they're like, you know what would be cool? We'll like spray a hose. We'll flash a light, and you guys can fight on the lighthouse. So because I think I saw these movies, and I mean, that is the caliber of film that I know Who Killed Me is.
Right.
Like, if you can get down with that, or if you, like myself, watch those films at a formative age to where it gives you, like, a nostalgia warm fuzzy, then you are going to totally dig I Know Who Killed Me. However, if you are not one of those people, you should run screaming, and in that case, check out something like Dead Ringers, which
is
also on there.
If you are that type of person, would it be worth watching for the laughs of it, or...
You know what? That's a good point. That would be an excellent movie for you to have, like, a bad movie night with.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are super fun. Like, yes. One time we did a double feature with Glitter and Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie. This is absolutely a candidate for that. So you, in one hand, you have, like, bad movie night with your friends. And the other side, you have, like, shameful, guilty pleasure when no one else is around. And it's Netflix streaming, so nobody even has to see the evidence of the envelope.
Either way, it's guaranteed.
Either way, it's a good time. So that's about it for I think, the podcast night, unless there's anything you wanted to add.
No, I think I'm good. It's been fun.
All right, cool.
I'm glad you invited me.
Thank you so much for joining.
Absolutely.
It was awesome to have you.
It was fun.
Hopefully we'll get you back on here again.
Maybe.
whatever, you're going to hear this and you're going to want to do it again. But and besides, now you have a foxy little bio up on our contact us page.
Oh.
Yes. Which, by the way, I designed that picture before I knew you were such a J-Horror fan. So how in sync are we?
Yeah.
We're in sync without even knowing it.
I know.
Okay.
You did a very good job.
Thank you very much. So next week, summer should be back. You're welcome to join us then too if you feel the need to go, if you want a three-way. And I think we're going to review another British import, which is the amazing Dead Set.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to give anything away.
Got to get to watching that.
But for those of you who don't want everything spoiled, but you still want to listen to the podcast, I recommend you get your hands on this because we're going to spoil it. And it is amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial?
And the little glass vial goes into the gun like a battery. And the Zydrate gun goes somewhere against your anatomy. And when the gun goes off, it sparks and you're ready for surgery. Surgery.
Rachel, do it. Rachel.
She has a Snuggie. I need a Snuggie. Oh, no. The kitten's on the other Snuggie. Then we could look like super culty.
So or
like Cookie Monster.
All right, this should be ready for crack-a-lackin'.
He always has to get some little thing in there because he's hoping he's going to make the outtakes. Our famed outtakes. That's right. I'm on to you, Nelson.